We tried done traditionally for the Yitzchak Boker is, in addition to just learning, also replicate a little bit like the yeshiva experience. That's why we have specifically chosen the Masechta that yeshiva is learning. We followed along the Maamar Kamos, all the sugyas. Short of having mechinas, we pretty much try to replicate it fairly accurately. However, this year we're adding a whole new dimension to the yeshiva experience. You know, most of you probably remember from your days back in yeshiva. Usually, the way the Derech HaYeshivas has been for quite some time is that Sdarim have been broken up really into two different categories. You can say that the Shi'ar and Chazor Shi'ar, depending on the Yeshiva you're in, how much time that takes up. And then there's always the component of the Kiyas. So usually, the component of the Yeshivas, and many Yeshivas, the component of the Kiyas are other Prakim in the Masechta, sometimes with the goal to finish the Masechta, depending on the size of the Masechta. So I'll tell you in June whether we accomplish that goal or not, but at least in theory, we're going to try to learn as much as we can in terms of the kiyas of Masechta's Gittin. So this is not quite a daf yomi shiur, so I can't say that we're going to necessarily finish a daf every day, although on some of the shorter days, maybe we'll finish it more than a daf. But again, the goal will be to really understand, to get a little bit of a havara on a little bit less of an ear level in terms of the kiyas. And yet, if every once in a while, even in the middle of the kiyas shiur, you know, we may slip into some nuance of Ian or something, so I ask Bechil in advance. But hopefully we'll try to keep the Ian part. The Ian part is one Bechia stuff and Bechia stuff. So we begin in the Beis of an Aleph in Maseches Gittin, with the sugya that we just spoke a lot about yesterday, and maybe getting Dina Sayam, Tzach Shem, B'fani Nechem, B'fani Nechem. That there is a Din, which the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, is only with the Rabbanon, that when a get is brought by a Shaliach, from Medina Sayyam, which we're going to translate to mean Chutzlar, that Rashi translates it to mean, that any get that is brought from Medina Sayyam, Chutzlar, it's from Shaliach, so Shaliach must say B'fari Nech, B'fari Nech. He must inform us that the get was written and the get was signed. And the reasons we're going to discuss in a moment. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Gamliel continues, Afa Neidim Min HaRepa Min HaChigir. Rabbi Gamliel adds on to the Mishnah and says, even if you bring from these cities that presumably for some reason would not have been covered by this original din, and according to some Tanaim, in fact, are not covered by this din, Rabbi Gamliel adds these cities as well. What the point of contention between Rabbi Gamliel and the first opinion is, I'm going to elaborate a little bit later on. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afilu Mikvah Lud, Lud, Lud. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if you bring from the village of Lud to Lud, that's also included in Hamedi Get Medina Fayyam. Again, what the significance of that is, why others disagree, that's all going to be a little bit later on coming into Gemara. But the basic theme of the din, everybody agrees to, the basic structure of the din is that a get that originates in Chutz Loretz, and you can define Chutz Loretz is up for grabs, but a get that originated in Chutz Loretz, brought with the Shaliach, requires the recitation of B'fai Nechem, B'fai Nechem. The Chachamim tell us, that all of these additional places that other Tanoim were adding on are not necessary. The only time a get has to be decided before Nechtim are the following. El HaMeid Min Medina Sayyam. If a get comes from Medina Sayyam, presumably far, far, far away. But then the Chacham add on something. The HaMolech, or if one brings a get to Medina Sayyam. That's already a whole other level. We're going to have to see the Gemara where that comes from. Up until now, we thought that before Nechtim is only one direction. And now things are beginning to change. Even a get coming from Eretz Yisrael L'chutzot may require B'fari Nechtam. Or, in addition to Chacham say, V'hameivim M'medina L'medina B'medina Sayyam. Tzach Shem B'fari Nechtam, B'fari Nechtam. The Chachamim seem to be adding on more cases of requirement of B'fari Nechtam, that even if the get is in Medina Sayyam, it remains in Medina Sayyam. But it went from one country of Medina Sayyam to another country of Medina Sayyam. So again, we are not sure about all the details here. There are a lot of things flying in this Mishnah. The basic surah of the din remains the same. Everybody subscribes to the opening line. The word in the big box, the first one, maybe get me to say that everybody agrees to. But now we have Tanoim who are arguing about the intricate details. Is this city called Medina Sayyam? Is that city called Medina Sayyam? Does Medina Sayyam mean only in one direction? Does it mean in both directions? What if you're going with Medina Sayyam? So there's a lot of details that the Gemara eventually is going to try to flush out as the city continues. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shimon Gamliel adds a whole nother dimension to this halacha. We think when we read this Mishnah, we have almost that image of a guy coming on a long trip. A guy got off a boat. He's been traveling for 6 months. He's bringing it from the other ends of the China. He's huffing and puffing, comes into the base, the Bnei Brach, and he says, that's the image of a maybe get to Mdina Sayyam. So Shimon Gamliel says, it could be a little bit less drastic than that. Afilu mehagmonia lagmonia. You could bring a get literally across the street, and you still have to say the fine nechta. What does hagmonia lagmonia mean? So the Gemara is going to explain. And it was one city. It was the same city. It was literally across the street. The problem was that there was a border in the middle of the city. There was a fence in between the city. And there are two different governments governing two different sides of the city. As you can have Nebuchadnezzar, we know that's what Yerushalayim looked like for some time after 1948. We still remember the image of Berlin, the famous tear down the wall of Berlin. So that was the harmonious harmonia. So you have one city, literally people live across the street from one another, and lo and behold, you still have to say find echta. So again, the Gemara is going to elaborate why that should be true as well. So these are all details of the original din, but the original din remains the same. Rabbi Yehuda now delineates the borders of Chutzlar. This is what we spoke a lot about yesterday. Merekev v'mizrach, Merekev k'mizrach. If you look at the map, says Rabbi Yehuda, so the city of Rekev and further east is considered to be Medina Sayyam. Me'ashkelon v'darim v'ashkelon k'darim. Ashkelon and further south is Medina Sayyam. Me'achol etzaf, and Akko is the furthest north corner. Of course, as we pointed out yesterday, there is no need to delineate the western border. It's fairly obvious, of course, it's the Mediterranean. Rabbi Meir omer Akko k'eretz Yisrael l'gittin. Rabbi Meir takes an issue with Akko. No, Akko is like Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of Gittin. And again, what the significance of these intricate details are to be determined a little bit later on in the Gemara. Maybe get Eretz Yisrael, Enotzel Shalom B'fai Nechav. One thing is crystal clear, that a get that's brought in Eretz Yisrael, it started in Eretz Yisrael, it ends in Eretz Yisrael, there's no need to say B'fai Nechav, according to anybody. But there's a problem. As we're going to see in a moment, b'fanei nechdam sounds like a little bit of a hassle, sounds like a little bit of a chumrah, but it's really a tremendous favor that the chacham are doing. Because once the shaliach says b'fanei nechdam, that's going to save any potential problems that may arise in the future. Imagine the following scenario. A get is brought from Chutzlaretz, that brings a get all the way from Shani, arrives in Eretz Yisrael, and doesn't say b'fanei nechdam. And now, 6 months later, the husband comes in and says, that get, that's a forgery. I never authorized that get. How in the world are they going to prove that get is valid? We're going to go find the witnesses assigned in China 6 years ago, and they're going to, come on, give me a break. In the olden days, that's impossible. It's never going to happen. So we're going to end up in a serious predicament. So the saying of b'fanei nechdam, although it's a little bit of a hassle, it's a little bit of a chumrah, it's something that will ultimately help you. It's an insurance policy. It's a good investment to say b'fanei nechdam. So now we have a little bit of a wrinkle in this idea. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there really is no reason to say it. As we'll see why precise Eretz Yisrael is different. In Eretz Yisrael, there never was a takana to say. So a shaliach who's coming from Bnei Brak to Yerushalayim is not saying b'fanei nechdam. Oh, I'm going to say that's going to become major rebates. That's going to be the whole thrust of the major rebates. Where this comes from, what this comes from, what's this based on? It's clearly some kind of an eidos, the obvious problem being it's only an eidechot. So you have a get that's brought in Eretz Yisrael. So the shaliach comes from Bnei Brak, arrives in Yerushalayim, brings the get, and he decides, I'm not saying b'fanei nechdam. Maybe I'm going to say, yeah, Bnei Brak to Eretz Yisrael is not going to say, yeah. So he doesn't say b'fanei nechdam, b'fanei nechdam. Everything's wonderful. Until next week, when the husband comes screaming and says, I never authorized that get. So now what are you going to do? So in a certain sense, a get that originated in Chutzlaretz is better than a get in Eretz Yisrael. Because the get that started in Chutzlaretz has the insurance policy built in. Whereas a get that starts in Eretz Yisrael, where there was no need to say b'fanei nechdam, so it's living risky. You know, as you know in life, it's great not to have to take out insurance policy, assuming that you don't get into an accident. But if you get into an accident, then you're in trouble. So if the person brings a get from Chutzlaretz, true, it was the hassle, you had to pay the insurance policy, you had to say the extra words, you had to make a whole bunch of bezdin and have them say b'fanei nechdam. But there's something to be gained by that, by not having to worry about anybody questioning the get in the future. So what happens in Eretz Yisrael? If a get was brought, there was no b'fanei nechdam, what do you do? So that's what the end of the Mishnah addresses. So maybe get back to all three lines at the bottom. If somebody comes to question the get, so we're going to do, it's called Kiyum Shtaros. We're going to have to go track down somebody who recognizes the signatures at the bottom of the get, who's going to say, yes, these are authentic signatures. And even though the husband is screaming, it's not true, it's a forgery, it's a forgery, it's a forgery. We have Eidos, we have Kiyum Shtaros, and that's going to carry the day. So it's going to be an extra step. It's going to be almost a little bit of a pain in the neck in Eretz Yisrael. So the basic Mishnah stands that a get coming from Chutz Laaretz requires Mefarei Nechem, Mefarei Nechem. A get coming from Eretz Yisrael does not require Mefarei Nechem, Mefarei Nechem. How do you define Eretz Yisrael? A little bit up for grabs. How do you define some of the nuances of, is this city, that city, on the border, not on the border, to be determined? And then a couple of things in between. You could sometimes have same city, two government, two breakdowns, etc. So that all those details are going to be determined in the Gemara, but the basic thing remains the same. So comes in the last line of Beis Menachem and asks the obvious question of my time. What's the reason for this? Where did this come from? Why are we saying you find Nechem, find Nechem? So Rabbi Amar, Rabbi says, on top of Beis Menachem, because the people who are writing Git in Chutz Laaretz weren't so knowledgeable, and they may not have known the halacha that the get has to be written in Shema. That's a Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak, Dim in that Torah, the word derives from the pasuk B'chus of Law, Lamin's Mishma. So since some of the people who are authorizing Git didn't know that they didn't know the Shema, we have to get the Shaliach to, in effect, testify that the get was written properly. And by saying B'fanei Nechem, B'fanei Nechem, so that's tantamount to telling us that the get was written in Shema. Of course, there's a basic question, but he didn't say Lishma. He just said Mefarei Nechem, Mefarei Nechem. So you got to wait for the Ian part of the sugya to figure out the answer to that question. But that's what Rabbi says. Rabbi says no, a different reason. We're not really worried about Lishma. But they didn't know the din of Lishma. Everybody wrote the third breath of Kittin. We know that again has to be written Lishma. The reason why Mefarei Nechem is so critical is because the husband's going to come and scream that the get is a forgery. We're not going to have any way to do Kiyum Shtaros. The get that's coming from China to Eretz Yisrael, who in the world is going to recognize the signatures from thousands of miles away? So to avoid any question of the husband claiming the get is a forgery, so the halacha requires to say b'fanei nechem, b'fanei nechem. In Eretz Yisrael, presumably this wasn't necessary. So the two reasons that are given by Rav and Rava are unique to Chutz Laaretz. The reason of Bikin Lashimra doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael because the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael were more knowledgeable, more proficient in Chutz Kittin, so there was less to be worried about. And presumably, Ein Eretz Yisrael Lekaimo doesn't apply because apparently the traffic was better in Eretz Yisrael. People were getting around in Eretz Yisrael. People knew each other better. Why that's so? The Gemara again is going to elaborate upon. So the Gemara presents two reasons for the Amoraim for this basic halacha. Well, yes, the next obvious question, by the way, what's the difference? It's very nice to say, I love this reason. I say, no, I give another love this reason. But tachlis, unless you can come up with some real nafgamina, some real practical difference, so it's kind of up in the air. Rosh Shech was fond of saying that a lumdish shayla without a nafgamina is called philosophy. It's not called the sugya. You have to have a real nafgamina. Give me a real answer. Give me a real practical difference. We list off a whole list of different practical differences. My benayu. Ike benayu v'yasyu beitrei. What if two shalichim brought the get? So two agents arrived together bringing a get. So is it necessary to say, b'fanei nechem, b'fanei nechem? So if you accept Rabba's concern of Eibikin Lishma, we're afraid the get wasn't written properly, wasn't written Lishma, you have 100 shalich mukam. They still have to tell us that the get was written in Lishma. But if the concern is ain edim etzul lekaimo, there's going to be nobody in town to be mekayim mishtar. What do you mean there's going to be nobody in town? These two guys are moving to town. You know, again, it's a different world today. Today, a guy comes from one place, he's here for 10 minutes, and he's turns around. Make a round trip search, it's around less than 24 hours almost. But things were a little bit different in the olden days. Yeah, person arrived from Dina Sayam, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to stay for a few months. So the Gemara says that if there's only one Shaliach who brought the get, so that he better say Mefarei Nechem, Mefarei Nechem. But if there are two Shalichim who brought the get, what's the big deal? If the husband questions the get, well, no problem. We'll have to weigh the two Shalichim, we'll serve as Eidim next month, and they'll do Kiyum Shtaros on the get. So that would be another possible difference. And the Gemara continues with another difference. Inami. The Medina, Le Medina, Be'eretz Yisrael. Is there a need to do, to say before Nechtam, when you're going from one part of Eretz Yisrael, one Medina in Eretz Yisrael, to another Medina in Eretz Yisrael? Again, the term Medina is a tricky term, what exactly that means. But we're talking about clearly different portions of Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah speak about in different contexts. Eretz Yisrael was really broken down to almost like three geographic units. There was Yehuda, there was the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, there was Galil, the northern part, and there's Eber Yarden, the other side of Yarden. So even Eretz Yisrael itself had almost like different components to it. So what would it be if you go from Medina to Medina to Eretz Yisrael? So if the concern is like Rabbah, that the get wasn't written in the Shema, so we just got finished saying that in Eretz Yisrael, the Dayanim were proficient. They knew the laws of the Shema. There's nothing to be worried about. But if the concern is, because Ein Edim Etzur Mekaimo, there's not that much travel, it's one thing to say there's travel within Osa Medina. So you're within Yehuda. So if you're going from Yerushalayim to Beit Meir, so that's still within Eretz Yehuda, that I understand. Or you're in the Galil, so you're going, you're going from Tiberi to Tzfat, so that I understand. If you start to cross Medinas, so I'm going from Kiryat Shmona down to Eilat. I mean, it's technically Eretz Yisrael, but practically speaking, I'm not so sure it's going to be so easy to become the get. And therefore, there may be a need to say before the Nechtam, even with an Eretz Yisrael proper. So we're already starting to rattle off Nafkaminas. So the Machloek is Rab and Rab, it's hard to say who's the Machmur, who's the Maker. They're different concerns. So one concern is the Shema, so you have to go with the concerns of the Shema. The other concern is Ein Eidim Mitzvim Mekaimel. So you have to pass in the Shaila based on the criteria. Is it Mitzvim or not Mitzvim? Inami. Three Nafkaminas. Inami Ba'osim Din Medina Sayam. What if you're within the same basic area, but you're in Medina Sayam? So if you say that the concern is because of the Shema, the bottom line is that people in Chutzlars weren't so knowledgeable of Chutz Gittin. So we're very, very worried that the get may have not been written in the Shema. So even if it's very, very close, you're supposed to say the Fanecha. Where if it's just a concern of traffic, of Kibushtaros, of recognized signatures, then presumably there's nothing to worry about. So we have the basic bit in the Mishnah. Everybody agrees you have to say the Fanecha. Everyone agrees this has something to do with Eretz Yisrael Chutzlars. Where do you draw the line is somewhat questionable. We have two reasons of the Amoraim for the basic din. Is it based on Emikim Lishma or is it based on Emikim Lishma? And we have at least three Nafkaminas to the Shaila. We have pretty much the Tzura of the Sugya. It's pretty much the Sugya. Gemara is going to fine tune a little bit later on. One of these Nafkaminas may cease to exist in the next 2-3 blot or so. But at least for now, the three Nafkaminas seem to be valid. But now we begin what really becomes, and we'll see this next Hashem in weeks to come in terms of the Yinshirim, we begin really the heart and soul of the lumdus of the Sugya. As was already pointed out a moment ago, there's something very, very strange about this entire Sugya. We have a concern. And let's take Rabbah. Rabbah came first generation before Rabbah. Rabbah's concern. We're afraid that the get wasn't written in Shema. Okay, understand, valid concern. We did have surveys, we studied it, we see that some of the sources of Gittin coming from Chutzlars may not be up to par. So we're concerned maybe the get wasn't written Lishma. We're really concerned. Says the Gemara, Ula Rabba, the Amal of Yishayim became Lishma, the boy Trey. Said, why don't we require two Eidim, the Manashach? If you're really worried, so then you have to have two Eidim to confirm something. Apishnaim Eidim Yacham Dover. Halacha always requires two Eidim. So the Manashach, if Rabba wasn't really worried, so then what are you wasting that time having the Shalech say before Nechta? If you really think there's a concern, and the only way to solve that concern, to allay that concern, is to require to aid him. Well, the Rabbi, the Amalek, the Shem, the Kibbutz, the Boy, Trey, needed to have the Akal Adios Shiva Torah, similar to all Adios in the Torah. We just read in last week's parasha, Pishnayim Adim, Yochum Dover, we pass Kedin Mamunas based on the Adim, we pass Kedin Kedush and Gittin based on the Adim, and we pass Kedin Nefashas based on the Adim. So if you're really worried about the get not being kosher, you should require to aid him. So answers the Gemara, Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. No. Says the Gemara, this is a unique area of Halacha that doesn't require to aid him. This is what's called Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurin. In the realm of Issur Heter, just to simply establish whether something is kosher or apostle, or kosher or treif, you don't need to aid him. Let's say the Marshal, I always give the Marshal, everyone ate supper last night. Hopefully everyone ate supper last night. So you had a piece of chicken for supper last night. I'm going to challenge you. How do you know that the chicken was kosher? Who told you the chicken was kosher? The answer is, your wife told you the chicken was kosher. And how does she know the chicken was kosher? Because somebody in one of the supermarkets told her that the chicken was kosher. And how does he know? So we keep on going back and back and back and back to the chain of command. You will realize that everything is hinging upon one fellow, the Shaykhid. The Shaykhid, somewhere sitting in an empire 100 miles from here, he told you that the chicken's kosher. Wait a second. That's an Eid Echad, AVP. How come when you came home from supper last night, how come your wife didn't have to say, wait a second, I can't serve dinner yet? Do we have two Eidim who come, they can raise your face then, and they're going to tell you, the chicken's kosher. Why not? So the answer is, it's not. Why not? Where that comes from, how Chazal knew that, that is a load of the topic. That's about four or five different sugyas of Ian Shurim that's going to take us up over the next course of the next couple of weeks. If you want to just give yourselves a little bit of a reference point as to the pace that we're going on right now. So we've been saying Yeshir and Yeshiva already for almost 2 weeks already. We started on Davdeis, and this morning Shir right now in Bnei Shurim has already passed what Yeshiva's up to. We're up to Yeshiva and Echad Mishurim. So we just knocked off in the last 21 minutes. We went faster than it took us already 2 weeks to learn. So just to give you an idea as to how loaded that base of a base in Gittin is. And we're here for an hour and 15 minutes, 5 days a week. So just a new perspective. So comes the Gemara and says, Erechna Yisurim. That Erechna is believed in Yisurim. And therefore, presumably, this status is the get kosher, the get not kosher, is considered to be like Erechna Yisurim. It's fundamentally not different than your wife telling you that the chicken is kosher. Yes, the Gemara, what? This is not Yisurim. When do we say there's a principle that an Erechna is believed in simplest of the heter? Every piece of fat sitting on the table, and I don't know whether this fat is permissible or not. If it comes from the chaylev part of the animal, certain parts of the fats are prohibited, the sakaris, and obviously I can't eat it. There are other fats in the animal that are not chaylev, that are perfectly permissible to eat. Many people can't tell the difference, myself included. I remember I saw a shechita a couple of years ago, and the sheikh is yanking out the chaylev and saying, this is in the sakaris, and this is heter gomer. They both looked as untasty as the other. Then he yanks out the Giradosha. I was wondering, you know, the Chazal said a person is always supposed to say, I would love to eat this tray for I'd love to have this cheeseburger. My coach Brooks said that. So I was trying so hard, looking at this miserable looking Chaylev and Giradosha, to bring myself to say that I couldn't honestly make such a statement. It looked disgusting. So comes the halach and says, if you have a piece of fat on the table, and an Erechna comes and tells you that it's kosher, it's not Chaylev, it's Shuman. So that I understand why. The law is chazik isura, because I don't know that the piece of fat was ever rasa. The principle that echad isura applies when I don't know a status. I'm in the dark. I have a piece of meat in front of me. I have no idea. Is it chazik or is it not chazik? Comes in an echad and tells me it's kosher. Or let's say Lamoshal, I have a suit in front of me. I have no idea. Is it chatnas? Is it not chatnas? The echad comes and tells me that it's not chatnas. So then we apply the principle of echad isura. Aval hocha, over here, this chazik isura is very different. Here, it's not that we know nothing. We know an awful lot. We have a woman in front of us who for the last 20 years has been an ish. So now the Eid Echad is telling you that the get is kosher. So the Eid Echad is not testifying in a vacuum. He's coming to change the status quo. We previously thought that this woman was not committed to marry somebody else. And now the Eid Echad is basically telling us that she can. So that does not meet standards of Eid Echad Nemisurin. Eid Echad Nemisurin does not apply against a Cheskes Isser. If we know something was Usser, Eid Echad is not going to help. Just a little bit, no pun intended, a little bit of food for thought. Going back to the original chicken example, when your wife tells you that the chicken is kosher, she's basically reporting to you that the chicken was Shechted. Isn't that also an Eid Echad against the Cheskes Isser? If you would have wanted to eat that chicken when it was alive, you couldn't have done so. It would have been awesome in that Torah. Other reasons. So when the Shulchan tells you that the chicken is kosher, isn't he also going up against the Cheskes Isser? So one potential question to put on the back burner for the Ian Shurim. We'll throw out one more question for food for thought. Tosus on the base tells us that the original source of an Echad Nisurit comes in Luchas Nida. The woman comes back to the mikvah, so she tells her husband she went to the mikvah. So she's Mutara, she's believed. So wait a second, isn't that also a cheskes isser? She was a nida for the last 2 weeks. Now she tells you everything changed. You're going to the mikvah. So why isn't that also called a violation of a cheskes isser? So that's why we've been sitting on this topic for the last 2 weeks at Yeshiva, to try to understand when Ein Echad Emes Yisrael does apply, when it doesn't apply, what's a cheskesis, what's not a cheskesis, a lot of love this down a couple of weeks from now in terms of the Yishuv. But back to our sugya, the Gemara has a serious reservation about the nemanos of this Ein Echad. Based on the regular rules of Ein Echad Emes Yisrael, are not going to work because this is against the chazaka. And now the Gemara has another line, and depending on what you think the girsa is, whether you read the next word to be Havi Dav Shebeva or Vehavi Dav Shebeva, is going to be a loaded question. It's going to become a whole other sugya. But the Gemara says we have another potential issue here, that when a shaliach says that this is a kosher get, he's basically testifying about an area of halacha called arayas. Testifying whether a woman is an Eishes Ish or not is a whole other category of halacha. This is not chickens. This is nothing to do with Erech Nimsu. This is not shotness. This is Ochas arayas. And when it comes to arayas, we have a rule that any and every testimony in the realm of Gilya Arayos requires two. That's the reason why we need two witnesses at a Kiddushin. We need two witnesses at a Get. We need two witnesses in other areas of Gilya Arayos. The Gemara has failed us in terms of trying to understand why that Echad is acceptable. So the Gemara started off with the question, according to Rava, how in the world can an Echad do the job? How can it be trusted? And the Gemara said, no problem. We'll hide behind Ein Echad Misurin. The Gemara said, no, you can't. First of all, strike one. It's against the Chazak. It's against the status quo. Strike two, this is an area of Halacha, not even called Isurim. This is an area called Davar Shebi'erva. Davar Shebi'erva always requires two. So we're back to square one. How in the world does the Ein Echad be believed? Oh, so that's the next question on the bottom of the days. Is it also Davar Shebi'erva? So we got every possible sugya. We referenced in the last 3 minutes every possible sugya we talk about on the days of days. Hope that should be. We'll have time in the weeks to come to analyze each one of these questions independently. So comes the Gemara and says, the real answer to this whole dilemma is very simple. Three lines at the bottom of the Gemara says, Rove, Biki, and Hain. Most of the people who are authorizing Gittin, yes, even in the far-flung areas of the Midas Hayam, really do know what they're doing. Rove Bekiyamim. The odds are that the get is actually kosher. And what the Gemara here is saying in these three words is the following. You're questioning the kashrus of the get. That concern, that question of yours is not a Torah concern. Min HaTorah, we do not have to be worried about the status of the get. Min HaTorah, we have a right to apply a principle called Rove. This is something we spoke a lot about in years gone by. Whenever I have a suffix in halacha, but yes, it's true, suffix their ice in the chumrah. If I'm not sure whether something is kosher, I can't run and eat it. But if the odds are that it's kosher, then I am permitted to eat it. The famous case of we have 10 stores in town, 9 stores are selling kosher meat, and 1 store is selling trefa meat, and I find a piece of meat on the floor. So technically speaking, at least in Torah for sure, I'm permitted to eat that meat. Why? How do I know? How do I know it's kosher? The odds are it's kosher. Statistically, it's probably kosher. It probably came from the kosher store. So too over here, we made an approximate study of what they did in Chutzlar that authorized the kitten, and we realized that 90% of the what they didn't really do know what they're doing. 10% is a little bit shaky, and therefore, we're not so comfortable with getting coming from Chutzlar. So therefore, mid the Rabbanon, we're going to require before Nechtan, before Nechtan. But in that Torah, you don't really need it. That changes the entire mechanics of this halacha. If the din of Bifari Nechta would have been a real Chashash in that Torah, if the Torah standards of Sfeikas would have warranted saying Bifari Nechta, then we would have insisted on a Torah status of Edim and we would have insisted on two people testify. But since this whole Chumrah was only instituted by the Chachamim, in Dinim Derabana we have a rule called Heim Amru Beheim Amru. We made the din and we made the solution. If you create the problem, then you're allowed to create the solution. So Midat Torah, there never really was a problem because Rov Bikine. And therefore, we're able to lower the standard and accept one shulchan. But the Gemara is still not convinced. The Gemara says, wait a second. Is that really true that we follow Rove? Whenever you don't know what to do, you always follow Rove. But afidul Rabbi Meir dechayish lemiyuta. Rabbi Meir has a very, very unique sheet to tuck away at Maseches Yevamos. And he's not so quick to follow Rove. That doesn't mean he never follows Rove, but that's another topic. The Eons, we have about 4 or 5 topics already lined up for that days of the days. Rabbi Meir takes issue with the Chum and says that we're not so fast to always follow Rove. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we may have a problem. Now, we want this mission to be true according to everybody. Says the Gemara, no. Even according to Rabbi Meir, we're good. Because Stam suffered the dying enigma Gemirah. That the concern of a get written shelo lishma, it's not just that there's a rove that it's probably not true. There's an overwhelming rove that it's not true. Because who in the world is writing gittin? The average guys are not writing gittin. Now, maybe some of us are sitting on a beis din for Taras Bedarim, or we're sitting on a beis din for Prusbles. You know, we sit at kind of a low level, but they didn't. But most of us, myself included, are not necessarily sitting on a beis din for gittin. And therefore, when you're dealing with a beis din for gittin, the stakes are much higher, and the degree of expertise, hopefully, is much higher as well. So the odds that the beis din and chutz lo'aretz doesn't know the first mishnah and the second gittin, come on, says the Gemara, that is so unlikely. That is so unlikely. It is such a powerful role that they are familiar with the din. Even according to the standards of Rabbi Meir, we can accept this get min haTorah. But for Rabbanan who don't. But the Chachamim still said, you know what, it's still a chance, very, very small chance. This is gittin, this is Eishes, this is Mamzeris. We want to be extra careful. Let's make a din mid Rabbanan of requiring before Nechav Nechnam. So they wanted, on the one hand, to institute a din derabbanan of saying before Nechav Nechnam is a chumrah. On the other hand, they don't want to make it too hard. Every once in a while, it's only one shlichim who comes. And they're going to insist on two shlichim. We're going to have to hold this woman up, not let her get married. So we should iguna kilim rabbanan. Iguna in Chazal is an all-encompassing term. Today it has a very, very specific meaning, but in Chazal it means a general term that any woman, for whatever reason, can't get, not because her husband is being a bad guy, we don't want to have any holdups in the gittin process. We want to make sure she's able to remarry as soon as possible. And the information, iguna akilim rabbanan, and they let us get away with it once. And the bottom line is, we now know the din mishnah. We understand the two reasons for the din mishnah. We understand what the nafsam and nafkaminas are. We understand why 1-8 is good enough. So we pretty much finished in terms of the basic tzur of understanding the first sugya in terms of that understanding the next pekiyah here. So we're going to kind of fine tune a little bit to figure out why exactly everything is true what we said until this point. Looks like we didn't do enough today. So we didn't do enough.
Amazing. Guys, see you tomorrow.